The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Torah Way, Northwest London, Tuesday, the 22nd of September, Dalad Tishri, Rav Sholem Segal Shlita, COVID and the Mila controversy.
Thank you, good morning. Somebody was once giving a lecture to a group of people who weren't religious in Eretz Yisrael. He was giving this lecture, and there's one individual in particular there who clearly wasn't particularly convinced and perhaps was arguing with the lecturer. And at one point the lecturer turned to him and he said, tell me something. Did your father give you a Brit Mila? The person said, yes. He said, tell me something else. You've got children? He says, yes. You gave your son a Brit Mila? He said, yes. He says, can you tell me why did you do that? If you don't believe in anything, why did you give him a Brit Mila? What? He said, the truth is, I have absolutely no answer. I don't know why. And they point out that already in the Novi describes how this mitzvah, the mitzvah of Brit Mila, is a mitzvah which will withstand the test of time and all the threats against it. This is a mitzvah which, if you actually look at the statistics, it's one mitzvah that no matter how far removed people are from Yiddishkeit, it's a mitzvah which is, I wouldn't say every single year, sadly not every single year has had a Brit Mila, but it's a mitzvah which is, for some reason, even those who are so far distant, Brit Mila is something which is at the very, very epicenter of what Yiddishkeit, Avraham Avinu, we know Avraham Avinu, the founder, as it were, of our Jewish nation as we know it, the mitzvah which he initiated, it's there, and the Novi says this is the way it's going to be all the way through till the times of Moshiach. And this is something which has been noted by those who are critical of Yiddishkeit, both in terms of the anti-Semitism and those from within our own rank, perhaps call it Jewish anti-Semitism, but they said, although they call it despicable, they call it disgusting, they call it repulsive, all sorts of terms, but they said, we acknowledge that this is a mitzvah, that despite the fact, all the threats, all the attacks on Brit Mila, it's still there, practiced by the vast, we're not talking about just the majority, almost all of Yidden, we're talking about well up, the percentages are very high. This is a mitzvah which has, as we said, has persevered through the time. But as we know, it's a mitzvah which has had its threats, those who wanted to outlaw it. But there's one part of Brit Mila in particular, which has, going back a good 200 years, has been sort of threatened and has been questioned more than once. And that is the mitzitza. The mitzitza, will come to Be'ez Hashem, the order of Brit Mila, but the mitzitza is the sucking of the blood. And it's had two different debates, two different controversies over the years, and it's important to differentiate between them. One of them was to completely do away with it. These are the people who describe it as being both dangerous, mitzitza being dangerous and repulsive. And then there have been those who accept that no, mitzitza is something which if Chazal told us to do it, it's something we have to do. But they're not necessarily there to be antagonistic. They're there just to say, but surely today, with medical advance, surely we have better ways of doing it, rather than the teats of a pair sucking the blood directly with the mouth. And perhaps we could replace it with some other means of performing getting the same goal. And this is something which I was actually giving share on to a small group, a couple of people at once, about just over a month ago, and little did I realize at the time how Nogea it was. Just under a month ago, we made the Brit, and before we, at the sort of the ad hoc Shalom Zocha, somebody came in, he just made a Brit, something like a month and a half before that, 2 months before that, and he said, do you realize that the mitzitza of the problem at the moment is a big issue? The Noyerim are not willing to do mitzitza b'peh. Even those who perhaps you'd think are a little bit more relaxed about this, but they're nervous with their losing their certification, they're part of the society for Brit Mila, they don't want to, they're not prepared to do mitzitza b'peh. And he says, with with him, he was given the choice, either the mole would do it, as we'll see, bishveferes, with a straw, or the father would have to do it himself. So I was getting ready. I thought that's exactly how I already made up my mind. If it came to it, fine, so I'll do the matzitza myself. As it happened, it turned out in the end, things had already moved on a little bit in those 2 months, and then the mole said, at the moment at least, he feels perfectly fine, it's perfectly safe. I'm not saying everyone would agree with that, but that he did the matzitza repair. So what I just want to examine today is this question: would it be better for the father to do mitzitza repair, or let the male, who knows what he's doing, would it be better for the father, for the male, to do the mitzitza with some other means? That's one question. A second question is, whatever we come out with on that, would anything change if the Brit Mila happened to be on Shabbos? If the 8th day fell on Shabbos, would that make any difference? Should the father do the mitzitza repair, assuming that there is a mitzvah with that? Or should he let the mole just go ahead and do it? Is there any reason why on Shabbos maybe the answer would be different to that question? So first, a little bit of background to the whole idea of mitzitza. Mitzitza has very, very little source to it in terms of the Gemara. It's really just one Gemara we find in Shabbos. There's a Mishnah down Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah writes said that we do all the Tzorchei Mila on Shabbos. If the Bris Mila, the 8th day, is Chal on Shabbos, it's a Bris Mizmano, we do everything on Shabbos. And that includes the Chitov, the cutting of the Orla, the Priyah, which is after one cut the Orla, so there's still a membrane, that's how it's described, the Krum, which covers over the Atara, literally the crown of the Eva, and as we know, with the fingernails, the male rips it and pulls it back. Then after that, he does the mitzitza. That's the sucking of the blood, which we'll come to in a second. And then the Mishnah goes on. You put on the ispalonis, that's the bandages, and the kamon, the cumin, and whatever else they did, the wine, the oil, various things they did to heal the rachamimo from this operation. Now, the Gemara goes on, over the page, and the Gemara, Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, says that a male who doesn't do mitzitza, he's leaving the child in a matzav of sakona, it's pikuach nefesh, and therefore if he's irresponsible and doesn't do mitzitza, ma'avinone, we remove him from his position. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, well, that's obvious. The fact that you're allowed to do mitzitza on Shabbos, drawing blood on Shabbos, doesn't that make it obvious that it must be it's pikuach nefesh? Otherwise, why would we allow you to do a malacha d'oraisa? So to that, the Gemara says, not necessarily so. It could be, without getting into the ins and outs of the Gemara, it could be it's only really, the way Rashi explains it, a melacha d'rabbanon. It's not a melacha d'oraisa. And therefore we allow it, even if there wasn't a sakana. And therefore a male, if it's not a male who didn't do it, okay, he's being irresponsible, but it's not sakana. That's the kamash malon from the juxtaposition, from the fact that mitzitza is put immediately before the ispalon is the bandaging and the medicine, etc., that they use. That makes it clear that the mitzitza is part of the actual, it's absolutely imperative in terms of protecting the child from sakana, from pikuach nefesh, and therefore a male doesn't do it, we remove him. And this is how the Rambam seems to bring it down, the Shulchan Aruch brings it down, is the idea that when a person does mitzitza, says the Rambam, the idea is he has to suck. As the world has said to me, he says, sometimes if a father does want to do it, he said they don't do it properly. He didn't say this, but it's like a dog sort of, you know, lapping up at the milk. He's licking it. The idea over here is you have to actually suck, the lotion is to suck the blood out, it's got to be a powerful sucking action to draw out the blood from the extremity. Now, what exactly is the sakana? It's not absolutely clear. The Rambam, they bring from his medical forum. The Rambam seems, what we'd call today, probably it's a bit like tetanus. The Rambam describes anyone who's being cut with something, a metal implement. He describes, again, I don't know, today they'd say the same thing. You can ask quite some members, but the idea over here is you take, the person sucks. He says, like sucking out the poison, you suck it out, infection, whatever it is, you suck it out. In a sort of slightly different interpretation in Hamastik Lev de Hashem, that's the son of the Rambam, Rabbi Avraham and Rambam, and also Rabbi Parachia, also Talmud from the school of the Rambam, they describe it more as to stop the swelling. It's the idea is to stop the swelling. There are one or two other theories to stop blood clotting, But it's not absolutely clear what the Sakana is. But what it does seem from all of this is that the Metzitza is there to protect the child from this Matzav of Pikuach Nefesh, this state of Sakana. And with that in mind, let's just take a little bit of a look at the history behind this whole debate as it gradually erupted, going back almost 200 years. The history of all of this you can find in the Sefer Itzhar Bris. Itzhar Bris is a four-volume sefer by one of the most famous Moelim in recent times, Rabbi Yossele, in Eretz Yisrael. And he, two volumes were brought out, I think, during his lifetime. And the last two, were brought out after he was Nifty. He prepared them, but his son brought them out. And in the last volume, he's got a whole piece there on the history, the background to this whole debate regarding the Tzitza. So we're talking about Tofkut Tzadi Aleph, that's 1831. In Germany, there was a German doctor who, having noted the Gemara seems to say it's al sakana. He said, look, today, with medical advance, he says, actually, and he's got medical backing for it, it's actually dangerous to practice Metzitza Bepeh. The whole idea of Metzitza, it's dangerous. And he says, moreover, and perhaps this was really the primary concern by him, he says it's disgusting. Probably would have written it in German, but it's repulsive. The whole idea of Metzitza, and he wrote in a handbook for Moedim, therefore, he says, as far as I'm concerned, we should get rid of Metzitza entirely. And Kachaba, that's how it really was in Germany, in many, many parts of Germany. There was a Moel there, seems to be perhaps an Orthodox Moel in Dresden. He said in Tofkut Hei, that's 1845, he describes there, he said for the last 32 years he's been practicing Brit Mila, he hasn't done Metzitza at all. He says, and that's been in the presence of four different Rabbonim successively, one after the other. What perhaps challenged that a little bit was the year before that, Tofresh Dalet, that's 1844, Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz, known for his statement of the Tiferet Yisrael on Mishnayot. So he brought up this issue. He says that today we really don't know what the Sakana is. But he says, he's spoken to doctors, and they do agree that definitely Metzitza has medical benefits. He's just told that they believe that you can get the same medical benefits without doing Metzitza. There are other ways of doing it. He says, well, look, as long as you agree there are medical benefits in the idea of Metzitza, then we're going to listen to Chazal. There's no reason for us to listen to you over and above Chazal. And the only thing, this is the Chiddush over there, he says that when it comes to Shabbos, although we still allow one to do Metzitza, but he suggests that the male should not do it with the same strength, not to draw out so much blood, which was a Chiddush, not everyone accepted, as you can well imagine. But that was really the matzav which we were facing there in Germany, also in France, also around that time, Tofresh Dalet, 1844. Same idea in France. 2 years before that, the chief rabbi of France, he'd been Nifter, and no one had taken up his place. As a result of that, they used the opportunity and they outlawed Metzitza in many places. And again, some places did adopt the idea of being Mevatel Metzitza, others stood up to it. So that was in the times, the 1830s, 1840s. Now, in the year Tof Kuf Tzadi Zayin, this was really the pivotal point of the whole thing. As 1837, the Yad Elozer, that was Rabbi Elozer Horovitz, the Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, he was the Rav in Vienna. He'd been sent to Vienna by the Chasam Sofer, Dafka, because Vienna was already showing signs of what today we'd call modern orthodoxy. And he felt that this Yad Elozer, the Rabbi Elozer Horovitz, besides being a tremendous, tremendous Chacham Gaon, but he was worldly, he would be able to relate to them. And he was very, very successful there. He was able to sort of bridge the gap and keep them on the straight and narrow. At the same time, the more what we call today the Haredi community was also, everything worked. It worked in tandem very, very nicely there. But in 1837, he wrote to the Chasam Sofer, the correspondence he actually only published some 8 years later in his Sefer. But he wrote to the Chasam Sofer and he said, there's a very, very well-respected male here in Vienna who, after doing the Bris Mila on many, many children, they've discovered that a lot of them, they've developed some sort of leprosy. So it's probably a leprosy of sorts, which starts around the area of the Bris Mila, and it spreads from there to the rest of the body. And it's been fatal in most cases. And never for the ones, even the cases where it hasn't been fatal, the child's the whole, he's being affected, the quality of life is being affected in a really a very dramatic way. The mice, they've checked the mole, the mole has been tested time and again, they cannot find anything. The mole is 100% clean. But the Mechashmi boy, they're pushing and they're saying they want to know, the doctor's there, they want to know, can we try and do something about this? Instead of doing the teats of the pear, they want to do it with some sort of sponge. I don't know if that means a gauze, the stuck through a gauze. It's not absolutely clear. The Chasam Sofer wasn't absolutely clear what they wanted. But the Chasam Sofer wrote back and he said, I don't know exactly how this sponge works, but if you can assure me that it does do the same job as Matzitza, then you can allow them to do it. Since the whole idea of Matzitza the pair in terms of the Gemara, we don't actually have a clear source for Matzitza duck of the pair, but as long as the doing it with a sponge achieves the same thing, you can allow them to do it like that. And with that in hand, the Yad Alofa, he went ahead, he publicized this, and effectively, that's what he pushed for, that Matzitza should be done with some other means through this sponge. Now that erupted a whole controversy over the years, many times came up, time and again. Some accused the Yad Alofa of actually forging this. They don't believe the Chasam Sofer ever wrote such a thing, which understandably the Yad Alofa was not best pleased about. He wrote back against that. But that seems highly unlikely. It's highly unlikely the Maram Sheikh, prime Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, clearly seems to accept the Chasam Sofer did write it. However, they say that they believe that the Chasam Sofer never wrote it as a clear blanket tefillah. It probably has conditions to it, and it was probably nothing more than a Horah Shah, based on the situation there that Bris Mila was...
Kol Halashon.
...was in jeopardy there. And therefore he allows it. That was the only sort of case where he would have allowed it. Some take it even further. They say that when the Yad Alofa wrote it, maybe not on purpose, when he wrote the Shaila, he missed out an integral part of the Shaila. And that was that besides, yes, this whole thing with the mole there, with the leprosy, etc., but the Maisa, the doctor who was pressing for this, seemingly his primary motive was actually, once again, he called it repulsive. He called it disgusting. They say, had the Chasam Sofer known about that, it's highly unlikely the Chasam Sofer would have given the same response. We know the way the Chasam Sofer fought for the Torah, Chodosh Min HaTorah. We know the Chasam Sofer has a very, very clear sort of path with regard to that. The Maram Sheikh fought against changing Matzitza. He was asked by a Talmud, the Talmud who was a Mo'el, and he was asked the following Shaila. He said, a family came to me, and the father said he wants me to do the Bris Mila, but he doesn't want me to do Matzitza. I'm not sure whether he means not Matzitza at all, or not definitely not Matzitza B'Peh. The Maram Sheikh wrote back to him, he said, so fine, tell the father you won't do the Bris Mila, the child won't have a Bris. He says, first of all, you have to understand something. For you to do the Bris Mila and not do the Matzitza, you're shooting yourself in the foot. It's totally disastrous. Because you've always been doing Matzitza on Shabbos. How can you do Matzitza on Shabbos? You can only do Matzitza on Shabbos if you hold that there is a sakana to the child. So if you've been doing Matzitza on Shabbos, it means you hold this Pikuach Nefesh. If you hold this Pikuach Nefesh, you've got no right to do Bris Mila then on the child and leave him in a marketable Pikuach Nefesh. It's one or the other. He says, are you going to ask me, but what about a Merlu starting out? And a Merlu comes along and says, fine, I won't do Matzitza on Shabbos. Now what? He says, even then, he says, prove to me that there is no sakana. Can you prove it? You can't prove it. The fact that they don't know what the sakana is, lo ra'inu eino raya. It's not a raya, and therefore there's a chazaka. Chazal has said there is a sakana. So until the time when we're told by Chazal that no such sakana exists, you've got no right to question it. And then he says, on top of that, if that wouldn't have been enough, but he says there is enough of a reason, that if it wouldn't, he says we'd have to stand up to these people because we know ultimately what their ulterior motive is. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile. You can't let them question our Masorah, the Torah as we have it. And if yes, it means leaving a child without a Bris Mila, what can we do about it? That was the way the Maram Sheikh took it. Another one who fought against it, and really perhaps the one who really put the brakes on the way this was sort of careering out of control, was the Orach Laner, Rabbi Yaakov Etzlinger. That was in Tofri Shvov, 1846. He wrote in the newspapers, he then wrote in his Shulet Binyan Tzion, effectively against the Yad Alofa, and he says, number one, you don't know what the Sakana Chazal meant anyway, so how can you say there is no Sakana? Point one. But point number two is, Who says it's only El Sakona? You're assuming, until now we've assumed, the reason why we do Mesita is because of Sakona. Let me ask you a question. The Seichana brings this riot. The Gemara said, in the Hamim, it said, maybe there is no Sakona. So why do we do Mesita? So there's no Sakona, so why do we allow us on Shabbos? Because, says Rashi, there's no Issa D'Oraisa. Mashma, but there is an Issa D'Rabbana. So let me ask you a question. If there's no Sakona, what's the heter to do an Issa D'Rabbana on Shabbos? Even for a Cheilesh Sheinbo Sakona, we paskin, again, but more concerned, there is room to be makel, but we paskin, at least in the first instance, for a Yid to do a Malacha, even a Malacha D'Rabbana on Shabbos, without a shinui, we don't do it for a Chedesh Eimbo Sakana. So what would be the Heter? Elamai, it must be because Mitzitza in itself is a mitzvah. Again, you could question the rabbi. They want to say Mitzitza is, again, it's not an integral part of the Bris Milah, because Chazal say Mol Velo Porah, if you did the Chitov, but not the Priya, it's Kilo Lo Mol. There's no Bris Milah has not been done. But it doesn't say if you don't do the Mitzitza, it's Kilo Lo Mol. But they say it's still, they want to prove from this that obviously Mitzitza is a part of the mitzvah of Bris Milah, albeit not a part which is Le'ekuva. So why do we need to come on to Sakana? Sakana is just to allow me to do it on Shabbos. So therefore the Gemara says like this. If it's a Malacha D'Oraisa, even if there's a mitzvah, but since it's not an integral part of Bris Milah, we wouldn't allow you to do it on Shabbos. But if that would be allowed to do it on Shabbos, it must be a Sakana. So that the Gemara says, no, maybe there is no Sakona. So why do we allow you to do it on Shabbos? There's only an Issa D'Rabbana. Either an Issa D'Rabbana, why would we allow that? The answer is because there's a mitzvah. The mitzvah we take on, that it's a mitzvah, but there's also Sakona. And we need the Sakona in order to allow us to do it on Shabbos. So says the Oruch Laner, in light of the fact that there could well be a mitzvah as well, so the Chol, what right do you have to do away with Mitzitza? And Mitzitza Bepeh at that. So therefore, he says, leave it as it is. And effectively, what happened was, you got many others, some who would accept, at least as a b'di'evit, impressing circumstances, Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan, Sekhtein Kovna, Shlomo HaKohen, Rabbi Chaim Oizer, who succeeded him in Vilna, they accepted that under pressing circumstances, we will allow this sponge, whatever, however it worked, but only under those pressing circumstances. Otherwise, but to do away with Mitzitza, there's nothing to talk about. Only with replacing it with something else, if we are pressed into a corner, then we will allow it. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no way. We cannot question Chazal. If Chazal said to do Mitzitza, they said to do Mitzitza the pair. We don't come up with our own other ways of doing it. What particularly... Right. Yeah. Yes, but the question is, that with the matiz, is the matiz necessary to for this? Well, just put on the bandages.
Yeah.
You can't do
anything that you could do for a Polish Shishpitzakonah.
That's the shayla. How much you could do? But the question is more on the matiz part of it.
Secondly, the story with Rav Elazar and Veen. Did the thing stop afterwards?
Doesn't say. Presumably it did. Presumably. I don't know. It doesn't say that part of it. So what's particularly interesting is the Bi'ar Halacha in Shin Lamed Aleph, he brings this Machlokes as if it's like a Machlokes, and he brings the Binyan Tzion first. That's the Oruch Laner. He says no. He says you can't replace. You do Mitzitza. Mitzitza has to be done the pair. And then he says, but some disagree, i.e. the Yad Elazar. He says no. You can do it with a sponge, and you can do it even on Shabbos. They say clearly the Tzadiyazah and others as well, they say it seems that Mishnah Berurah never saw the sources inside. He's quoting it from the Pisei Teshuvah, who quotes them, because if he had seen them inside, he would have realized that the Oruch Laner was actually writing out against the Yad Elazar. And therefore the Tzadiyazah says, anyone who does it through a gaul, he says, in Mamash, it's a Shaida of Chilul Shabbos. He says, no way, you should not be doing it like that, especially not on Shabbos. Likewise, Rav Bosman, David Halevi, he says, he heard from the Chazanish, those who already have they don't have a Masorah to be Makel should not change. They should stick to the way they've always done it. Just very briefly how it sort of panned out, it came over to England, Tof Reish Mem Ches, 1888, there was, again, a similar sort of thing with a male. There was a male here, which I think children also, I think with here, I think there were, again, with a male, there were quite a few, I think, fatalities. And again, a very, very famous male throughout England. And Rav Nosson Adler, the chief rabbi, he convened a meeting of the Moelim, and they decided under the circumstances they were going to stop doing matzitza. They would just do, they would just put on, I think, some wine or water onto the wound, but no more matzitza. So a Talmud of that Moel, somebody called Alexander Tarsis, he came up with a contraption. Effectively, I think it was like with a balloon, using suction to draw out the blood that way. And he wrote around to send it out to ask many, many Gedolim. Some were perfectly happy with it. Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Shem HaKein, Rav Yitzchak Aponovich, they were happy with it, perfectly fine. Others said, Ubediyeved will accept it, the Dibrei Malkiel. Apparently, Rav Aryeh Leib, he was the Rosh Shiva in Horodna, in London. He said Ubediyeved. And then you had those who said Mamash B'Doichak, like Rav Bengis. There were mixed reactions to it. But 11 years later in Tofresh Nun Tes, that was 1899 in Germany, there was somebody where, because in Germany it was becoming outlawed in a lot of places, there was somebody there called Rav Kahn from Fulda. He, in conjunction with 32 different medical practitioners in different areas, he came up with the idea of this, the glass tube. I don't know if it was exactly the same, but it was much sort of along those lines. The idea was they could actually put something inside to guarantee there would be no mix of the male saliva and the child's blood. So there wouldn't be any risk of cross-infection. And that's received our summer of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, Rishim Shem Rafael Hirsch, and perhaps most significantly, Rav Hildesheimer, who was a Talmud of the Oruch Lanet. They accepted that one because the mitzvah is a sucking action. You do have to suck, albeit not directly from the Eva. And therefore, again, under circumstance, if you can't do Mitzvah to the pair, they were happy with that. If you can't do Mitzvah to the pair. And again, the Chazon Ish seem to have, some say the Chazon Ish allowed this type. Others say that the Chazon Ish allowed it only because it has already become widespread. He said he's envious of the Hungarians. He says that was in Lita. But the Hungarians who have kept, they keep their Messiah and they stick on with Mitzvah to the pair. He says, ideally, that's the way it should really go. In the 1980s, when AIDS came about, so then there was a whole thing again. This is sort of getting closer to our Shida here. So with AIDS, should they do Mitzvah to the pair? Should they not? There were people who were nervous. But Zvi Pesach Frank said, those who don't want to do Mitzvah to the pair, they've got plenty to rely upon. Nonetheless, both in America and in Eretz Yisrael, many Gedolim came out with Kol Kori saying, stick to Mitzvah to the pair. In America, what perhaps most significantly was Rabbi Reuven Feinstein, because he put on there what his father held, but Moshe Feinstein, who was very, very stark about Mitzitza, should be done the pair. No, you had many people, Menachat Yitzchok, Rav Volzner, Rav Nissen Karevitz. Enochalami. That's already more today, correct, yeah. There's a disagreement there, correct. And Rav Shlomo Zalman also, he said, as long as you can be sure there's no sakana, as far as we know, he says, stick to Mitzitza the pair. So let me, I know I'm more or less out of time, but let me just bring it to what's my guest today. Number one, just a suggestion, perhaps more but that of but perhaps you could say the following. What is this sakana anyway? What is the sakana we're dealing with? Perhaps we could suggest the sakana is not a physical sakana, it's more of a ruchniastic sakana. And Lamaitan in the Seychemid, he's got two very, very long pieces on this. He brings there such an idea. It could be it's a sakana ruchni. Well, what's the sakana ruchni? We know when Adam was created, through my observation, it says, by heart, Hashem saw the earth, Kitoit. When it came to the sixth day of creation, it doesn't say Kitoit Babriel to Adam. Some say it does, there's Kol Asher Osam in Eternal Oath. But some say, because you can't say Toiv, Kol Zaman man is not Sholim, he has an Afrit Mila. When Moshe was born, Moshe Rabbeinu Batele, it said Kitoit, as a Medrash, one opinion, he was born Mohu. Toiv means after the Brit Mila. But what we have to realize is, once you give the child the Brit Mila, now he's the Adam Asholim. Now the Yetzer Hara, he's got something to go after the person. We know the greater the person is, the greater the tzaddik, the greater the Yetzer Hara. So now that if you've done the Brit Mila and you don't do anything about it, you've left the child in a matzav of sakana from the Yetzer Hara. So what do? The answer is we suck out some blood. The Gaon says in the Gilas Esther, the reason why we're not allowed to eat blood, drink blood and chelev, is because those, we just have to accept this is what the Gaon brings, they are food for the Yetzer Hara. So the idea is we suck out the blood, but perhaps we could go even further. Why dusk of the pear? The answer is because the mouth is the kli, is the vehicle for Torah and Tefillah. And what the mouth therefore is able to do, like the Yetzirah Moshcheir of Eitz HaMedrash, it can actually be Mahapechit with the Shofar. When we blow into the Shofar which is the Etzem is connected to Akedas Yitzchok, which is Din. So we blow into it, the idea is, all the kind is through our Hashem Bekel Shofar. It's Mahapechit from the Midas HaDin to Midas HaRachamim. And they say that's all the idea. Peh is Gematria with the Kodel, is Gematria the Kin. They say that's the idea of the seat for the Peh. And I did, Mr. Brewer brings it down, that if you do, some learning when they do, if they do a Brit Mila on Rosh Hashanah, they don't clean their mouth of the blood, and they blow from the shofar if it's going to be the Baal Tekeah. It's the same idea, because the idea of Mitzitza of a pair, that blood, although in the Rabbanon we don't have human blood, some hold when the male, when he does Mitzitza, he doesn't have to worry about swallowing that blood. Because that blood, not everyone agrees, but we know generally speaking they spit it out. But the idea is because that blood, he's been mahapichit by mitzitz of a pair, all over Kim Bistro, Hashem Bekal Shev, he's been mahapichit to something of Kedusha. So, coming back to our question in the snots of COVID, if one is faced with that situation, should the father do mitzitz of a pair, or should the male do it with the shpoferet, with the straw? The answer is, clearly, if the father can do a proper mitzitzah, then for sure he should do it with the seats of a pair. If he's allowed to do it, but he's got to make sure to do it properly. Because otherwise he's even the child in a matzav of takana. Moreover, I'll tell you something, the male, the pluk, from the Shmuel Gabriel, he said to me, I checked it out, the Eretz Tzvi. So the Rabbi Tzvi from there, he's got a shuvah, he says he doesn't understand, why doesn't the father always do mitzvah? It's part of the mitzvah. He says that the Kriya understand the father can't do, even the chitah, some people do it, but Tommy Repenach Padva, that Sadiq Gedevah, he wasn't happy with it when father. Right, everybody else also. But this is something the father can do. The one shite is when it comes to Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, the kids are just, when it comes to two Mayalim doing, one does the Chitah and one does the Priya, there's a big shite about it. The Maita win knowing, except if the halacha is you can have two Mayalim doing it. Even though the first one is the Maita is Moldo Torah, hasn't done anything. There's a chasm sefer, but mitzitza, that you shouldn't have somebody else doing it. Whoever's been Mechal Shabbos or the Brit Mila should do the mitzitza. Nonetheless, says the Mishnah Brura, Yeshua Yaakov disagrees with that. He says, no, ultimately, why shouldn't the mitzitza be done by somebody else? And therefore, but here you've got to be absolutely sure you're doing it properly, because if you don't, you're being Mechal Shabbos for nothing. So once again, if a person can do it properly, why not? Hayom HaRaselom will just conclude, Rosh Hashanah, we know man was created, man was born. That means this Shabbos Shuvah, that will be our Brit Mila. The Rebbe Shalom, our Avinu Shabbat Shomayim, Bezat Hashem, he will do our Brit Mila, he will weaken the Yetzer Hara on this Shabbos Shuvah, and then the Shlishi Amida, the third day after Brit Mila, that's Yom Kippur. As with Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be Mevakeh Chela, the only difference is, Bezat Hashem, we will be the Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to us, and on Yom Kippur, as we know, HaSaton, the one day when the Yetzer Hara, Bezat Hashem, will be completely vanquished.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.